Well, a very good morning to you all. Nice to see you here. Welcome to Sittingbourne Baptist Church on this fine Sunday morning. It's currently quite dry, nice and warm, temperatures warming up nicely. Welcome to the house of the Lord and this special day. Why is it special, you might ask? Because it's the one day of the week where the Lord calls us all out to congregate together in one place, in his house, to worship his holy name, praise his name. We are called together in a place of peace, and we're in the presence of the Lord, a place of love and caring for one another. In fact, the Bible tells us that one of the signs that the world has to identify a Christian is that we love one another. And given how different we all are from all different walks of life, surely we can only do this, that we can only love one another, such a wide variety among us, is because we all worship the same God. We all give praise and honor to the same God, a loving God, a Saviour, our King. Now, talking of kings, did you see the lead in there? The King. Did you notice something that went on yesterday? An event? A coronation, was it? Right. Coronation. Who was it that got coronated? King Charles III. King Charles III. Queen consort, apparently. Camilla. So he was crowned yesterday, and he was given a new hat, and he was given a new title. Defender of the faith. Defender of our faith. So he gave an oath before the country, and indeed the whole world, because it wasn't just people in Britain that were tuning in to watch this. Everyone around the world has an interest in what goes on in the monarchy in the United Kingdom. So that's King Charles, defender of our faith. Whatever you think of him as a person, the Bible calls for us to pray for all those in authority, and we will pray for the newly crowned king later on. Talking of monarchy, I thought I'd take a look at what happened in this month to the monarchy of our past, because we have a rich heritage when it comes to kings and queens and their furtherance of the Christian faith. And in 1194, King Richard I of England gave Portsmouth their first royal charter. Go Portsmouth! So that was in 1194. 1568, Mary Queen of Scots escaped Loch Leven Castle because she was held, but that didn't last long. Queen Elizabeth I saw to that. And then in 1611, who knows what happened in 1611? No? The King James Version of the Bible was published for the first time in London. And from that day to this, it continues to be the most widely published of all Bible translations. Talking of the Bible, later on, Nathan will be coming over and in his sermon, he's starting a new sermon series entitled, Who Cares? Who Cares? And so he'll be opening up the Word of God to us. But before we get into that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are here in our midst this morning. You are the one true God. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. And it is to you that we hold in our hearts, that we bow our knee, and we give all of our honor and our worship to you. So this morning we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would lead us in this worship and you will find it acceptable. The voices and the music that rise up from this place to your throne in heaven, Lord. May it be sweet. May it be something that stirs your heart, Lord. And so I ask that you would lead us in this service this morning as we go into a time of praise and worship in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand and sing two songs together, starting with King of Kings. King of Kings, Majesty. And Lord of Lords, Jesus is the one that we worship this morning. super duper, as they say. Super duper. And now that, now you're all stirred up. Now we're going to get ready to hear the word of God, and Mary's going to come up and share the Holy Scriptures with us.
Good morning. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 6, the NIV version, and I'm starting at verse 25. It's entitled, Do Not Worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen.
Thank you, Mary. I know those verses are well known and normally talked about in the context of being free from anxiety, but I thought these verses spoke so much about a caring Jesus, a loving, caring Jesus who not only cares to die on the cross for each and every one of us to pay the burden and the price for our sin, but he's also concerned with our day-to-day living, that he wants to provide all that we need in life. So let's stand once more and sing a couple of songs together as we remember what a friend we have in Jesus. Okay, we come to that time in the service, a very special time, and I'm thinking back to last week when we had not one, not two, but three birthdays. And so I'm thinking to myself, maybe not, but I'm going to. Okay. It's a big moment. Children. Are there any children in the house who have a birthday? Any children under the age of 12 have a birthday in recent days? Any children under the age of 18 have a birthday? Any children under the age of 200? Birthday girl, Mary. Mona, happy birthday. Do you know what? I feel in such a mood to... And who? Sarah. Sarah. Which Sarah? Sarah. Oh, Sarah. Sarah, all right. Lovely. Is she here? Where is she? Oh, sorry. Hello, Sarah. Should we sing happy birthday? Okay, now going to leave to their groups. We bless you now as you go from this place into another place and hear all about what the Lord is doing. God bless you. God go with you. Let's come together in a time of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we this morning acknowledge the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in this place. And we have given glory to him, Lord, but as we remember in your word that we should pray for all those in authority, Lord, we pray for the newly crowned king in this country. Lord, who has this title, Defender of the Faith. Lord, I pray with everyone else here this morning that you will be with him, that he will uphold all righteousness in this land, that he will do all that is within his power to promote the faith, to defend it, and to keep your name sacred in the halls of power. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you bless kings and queens around the world. Lord, there is no power that is in place that was not put there but by you. And Lord, so we look to that. Whether we understand that or not, Lord, we trust in you. And so we thank you this morning for kings and for queens, but particularly for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, who came down, stepped down from heaven, Lord. And we remember him this morning because of what he has done on the cross, redeeming each one from our sins, giving us everlasting life, something that no earthly king or queen can do. No amount of power by any other person on this earth can do the same thing that Jesus did on the cross. Lord, and so we come before you, Lord. And as we think about our faith before you and the defender of our faith, we ask you that you keep our faith strong in this place, in the face of ever-increasing persecution, Lord, in this country and around the world. We see an increase rising, Lord, of persecution of those whom you have redeemed. Lord, we pray that where that persecution takes place, that you will be with those saints, that you will give them strength and encouragement, and Lord, that you will defend them in every way that you see fit, Lord, but no matter what the pressure is out in the world, that we are called to go out and to preach the gospel of good news, whether they accept it or whether they reject it, Lord, is out of our hands. But give us the strength to go and to preach the good news. And as the light was burning bright in centuries past in our kings and our queens in this land, Lord, who took forward your gospel into all the world, Lord, may I humbly say that help us to do the same now. Whether we can attain to such standards or not, I do not know, Lord, but give us the strength, the hope, and the encouragement that we need to go and spread your word to the lost, to spread the word of salvation to those who need it, whether they recognize that or not. Lord, and we pray for the people in this church, Lord, those who are suffering in whatever way that they're suffering, whether physical ailments, Lord, whether in their lives there are struggles, and there are struggles, Lord, with the cost of living going up so fast. Lord, it is a worry to many how we're going to cope. But may we turn our eyes upon you, turn our eyes upon Jesus, to lift our prayers to you in full confidence that you will hear us and that you will always keep us. Lord, keep us in all the various ministries that we do in this church. And we pray for the continued sequence of our children's leaders, our children leader, our youth leader. Lord, it's been a long time, but we know and we believe and we rest that you will bring to us the right person for the task, the right person for the role, that will have responsibility to look after our children and to lead them in the way that you see fit, Lord. And so we place our trust in you for that position to be fulfilled in Jesus' name. So as we come to a time of just remembering you, Lord, help us to lay aside all the things that bind us and to oppress us and to put us down. Help us to cast it aside, Lord, and in our private times, in our own closets, lift those up to you in our own private time of confession. Lord, we know that you will take that burden from us, because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. In Jesus' name we give you praise. Amen. So before Nathan comes to open up the word of God to us, we're going to sing one more song. This is an oldie but goldie. You might remember it. It's Draw Me Closer.
Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding Son. We want to be closer. Draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. Yes. Nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. Nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleed. Just one more time. We want to be closer to him. Draw me near. Want to be closer, closer. Nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. Nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross, to thy precious bleeding sign. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you that you are moving in our hearts through the presence of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for the call that you summon us and you bid us and you call us to walk closely with you. And Father, we don't take that lightly. We're grateful that you allow us to draw closer to you. Despite the fact that you are great and mighty and all-powerful, but yet still you invite us as mere human beings to draw closer to you. And we pray now as we draw close to you that, Father, you would meet every one of our needs, that you would minister to those places that are broken, minister to those places where we're hurting. As we draw close to you now, we thank you that you are very near. And Lord, as we come now to feast and to hear from your word, we pray that you would speak to each and every one of us today. I pray that you would anoint me afresh as your servant, that I may proclaim and preach your gospel, that souls may be saved and lives will be encouraged and inspired. When it's all said and done, we'll be careful to give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise, because it all belongs to you. Bless us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please do take your seats. So good to see you all this morning. Thanks to Brian and the worship team for leading us so beautifully this morning in worship. And every song, every hymn was just so perfect for the theme today. As we embark on a new series throughout this month of May, as we are asking the question, a simple yet profound question, who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? And as we look at various aspects of God's care for us throughout the Bible, and then also look at the challenge for us as his people, because we don't just want to say we care for our community, care for one another, but we want to demonstrate that care. And we want to put that care into action. So I pray that you'll be stirred throughout this month as we examine care together. Today we're looking at Psalm 139. And we're going to look closer at verse 7 to 12. And I'm going to read first from the New King James Version. And then we're going to take a look at Eugene Peterson's message. And it reads like this: where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. And if I say, surely, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Then in the Message, just a more contemporary reading, it reads, is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you are there. If I go underground, you are there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. In fact, you are already there waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. Today, I want to preach from this thought. You can run, but you can't hide. Can we say that together? You can run, but you can't hide. Friends, 5 years ago, our UK government decided to implement a cross-government strategy to tackle and to deal with loneliness in the UK. And it's interesting that despite the new advancements of technology that has the ability to connect people all around the world, in a sense, the world has become smaller because of technology, that at the very touch of a button, we can connect with our loved ones and our friends. But despite the simplicity of technology and instant messaging and social media, reports suggest that loneliness is a major issue for many around the country. In fact, the government report suggests that even prior to the pandemic of COVID-19, that there was another pandemic of sorts that can not just affect the elderly. It's not just affecting those with low immune systems. It's not just affecting those who live alone by themselves without much family or friends. But in fact, loneliness, church, has the ability to affect absolutely anyone. Loneliness is not just subjected to those who are widowed. Loneliness is not just part and parcel of a single person who is not married with a family. It's not just for the introverted folks. It's not just for the person who sleeps on the street. But loneliness has the ability to impact even those who seemingly on paper appear to be social butterflies. And church, this national pandemic of loneliness, if you will, has become so evident across the nation that the government decided to create a new ministerial position, which is titled the Minister for Loneliness within the Department of Culture, Media and Sport. And church, I believe we have to be very aware that loneliness is not just isolated to those who are alone. It's not just in the elderly man or woman whose spouse passed away. But could it be that right amongst us, right under our nose, so to speak, someone in this church today is crying out, even amongst the congregation of the gathered community of believers, that someone is crying out in the heart and asking the question, who cares? Who cares? Maybe there's someone sitting here this morning amongst the congregation who will shortly go out into the lounge, and it will be very busy as we congregate and have teas and coffees. But yet still, perhaps someone will be thinking in the corners of their mind, does anyone really care about me? Does anyone notice me? Does anyone see me? Does anyone understand what I am facing right now? Does anyone understand what I'm going through? And not only may we ponder that question within our hearts, whether people around us care or notice what we are going through, but even from the perspective and the vantage point of God, the divine, many have asked the question directly to God, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God, do you care? Do you really care about me? If you care, God, then why did I have to face so much adversity in my life? Why did I have to go through so much pain in my youth? Why did I have to go through such a painful divorce? Why did my mum have to face cancer at such a young age? God, do you really care about me? And you know, to this day, friends, to this very day, one of the stumbling blocks, one of the prime stumbling blocks, if you will, that the enemy uses to deceive people's minds away from coming to faith in Jesus Christ, the enemy uses this tactic, this trick to infiltrate the mind to make one believe that God does not care. It's almost as if the enemy wants to make people believe that God is just an incomprehensible and a distant force that just sits back with his arms folded, just watching and watching the world and the episodes in our lives just play out. It's almost like an old schoolmaster from yesteryear that takes no prisoners, that whenever a deadline is set for homework or assignments, and the student comes up with a whole host of excuses as to why the assignment was not completed on time, and then the teacher replies, I don't care about your excuses. The deadline is the deadline. And church, not only do unbelievers in Jesus point out a perceived lack of care from God, but even as Christians, even as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, even as sons and daughters of God, situations in our lives and unforeseen circumstances can cause us to raise the question in our hearts, God, I know that you are real. I don't doubt your power or your existence, but I have a question for you, God. Do you really care about what I am going through? Could it be that for some of you, you've even thought about asking the question, but maybe because of a sense of guilt before asking, what happens when you know that God is real and you don't doubt his existence? But then that sense of guilt says, Lord, I shouldn't be asking such a question, but what I'm going through right now, it feels as if you don't care. Perhaps why the hymn writer of old asks the question so eloquently in the hymn, does Jesus care? Does Jesus care? Goes on to say, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long, does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does it mean anything to him? Does he see? Verses that are littered with questions from humanity to the divine. But what I love about the hymn, church, is although we observe questions of, do you care, God? Do you see what I'm going through? But then the refrain of the hymn gives us some answers. It goes on to say, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. Why? Because his heart is touched with my grief. And when the days are weary and the long nights are dreary, I know that my Savior cares. And friends, I want to encourage you this morning that we have not a high priest who is not touched, who is not moved with the feelings of our infirmities, our pains, our struggles. You may feel as if you are going through what you're going through all by yourself, but I want to encourage you today, church, Jesus sees and he cares. And church, that the gentleman before us this morning here in Psalm 139, King David, his life is a perfect example of the consistency of God's care. King David, who in Psalm 37, he was so assured of God's care that he made the statement, I once was young, and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. However, church, although David was assured of God's care for him and his protection over the course of his life and his 40-year reign as king, it did not mean that David never experienced seasons of loss and seasons of frustration and moments of grief and pain. And David, despite having more than one wife in that day, David, despite having children and a best friend in Jonathan, yes, even David felt lonely at times in his life, and he felt dejected. There was a time in David's younger years as an anointed future king over Israel. He had not yet been fully instated as the king. But before officially taking up the reins, because of the jealousy of King Saul, who was filled with envy because the women were singing in the streets that Saul had slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And now David's life was in danger. Several assassination attempts were made on his life. And now David was on the run, trying to flee and escape Saul's wrath. And he escaped to a cave called Adullam. And as fugitives on the run, David, along with 400 men, were isolated in a cave. They were filled with anxiety, burdened with fear, separated from their loved ones. And church, I believe none of us could blame David in that moment, cooped up in a cave, hiding away from Saul's anger and his henchmen. And I'm sure in that moment, David would have been forgiven for asking the question, God, do you care about me? After all, God, I dedicated my life to you. As a youngster, I was minding my own business, tending to my father's sheep, when I was summoned to show up at my father's house to a regal appointment that I wasn't even invited to in the first place. But yet still, I obeyed the call of God on my life. I defeated a giant called Goliath with smooth stones and a slingshot and faith in the name of the Lord. And now look, I'm on the run, having to hide out in a cave. I'm in fear for my life, separated from my family. God, do you care? I know you are real, but it seems as though I can't feel your care for my life in this very moment. But friends, I want to encourage you this morning that although the low moments in our lives may appear, it may feel in that moment as if you are alone, you may feel lonely, you may feel that God doesn't care, or other people do not care around you. But I want to encourage you this morning that God does care. In Psalm 139, David lets us into an open truth about the nature of God. And it's so encouraging because, simply put, he lets us know, first of all, that God is omniscient. Can we say that together? God is omniscient. It simply means he is all-knowing. He knows all things. He knows everything about us. He knows everything that we are going through in our lives. In fact, he knows us better than we know ourselves. Even the number of hairs on our head are numbered by the Lord. David opens up Psalm 139 by saying, O Lord, you have searched me and you have known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. Your knowledge of me is so vast and deep that you understand my thoughts even from afar off. Now, for those of you who are married and have been married for a while, I'm sure that you will pick up signs about your spouse, even if they don't say it, if they don't verbalize it to you. You may be able to pick up signs that energy coming from them, that feeling as if something is not right. And then you ask the question, are you okay? Are you sure you're okay? They haven't said that they're not okay, you know. But there's something that you can detect and pick up as if something is not right. And friends, in a similar vein, it's a wonderful thought to know that even though we may feel lonely, and we may even ask, well, does anyone even around me even see and know what I'm going through? But please understand that because of his omniscience, God cares and he knows everything that we are going through. In fact, in verse 6 of Psalm 139, David says, such knowledge of God's wisdom and his counsel, his omniscience, it's so wonderful for me that I cannot take it all in. God is all-knowing, friends. He knows you better than anyone else. But secondly, not only does David highlight here in Psalm 139 the omniscience of God, but he also highlights, and this is what I want to hone in on today, he highlights the omnipresence of God. God is everywhere at the same time. In verse 7, David says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee? Where can I run away from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. And friends, as we come to our sermon notes, and I want to leave these final two points with you from the notes, I want to encourage you today that although you may feel lonely at this time, although you may feel as if no one cares about you and what you are facing right now, you may be going up against some Goliaths like David in your own life that are seemingly blocking your pathway forward, that leads you to ask that question, does God really care about me? But I want to encourage you today, number one, that it's impossible to run away from God's presence. You can run, but you can't hide. You can feel as if you can get away and go to a recluse place to get away and stop going to church, down tools and say, I quit. But even in that place, God will find you there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. On Thursday during this week, I went to visit one of our members along with another member of our pastoral team. And as I approached the gate, I noticed the pet dog. And I've been to this house before, so I've been aware of the dog. And the dog, the last time I visited, was very calm, you know, and just calm and just was sitting down and no problems, no issues. And it's quite an older dog. And as the dog approached the gate, I thought, oh, I'll just open the gate and come in and just pet the dog and go into the house for our visit. But as soon as I opened the gate, the dog rushed through the gate, ran out towards the housing estate, and now we have a big problem. And church, would the dog listen to me? It kept running and running, totally ignoring me in the process. So now I'm thinking to myself, oh no, can you imagine the headlines around the church? Minister's pastoral visit goes wrong. Minister loses member's dog. But then I decided, you know what I'm going to do? Since the dog is ignoring my voice, here's what I'll do. Wherever the dog goes, I'm going to make sure that my eyes can see the dog. And as long as my eyes can see the dog, then I'm sure that my fellow pastoral teammate will be able to catch up to me at some point with the dog lead. And just in the nick of time, Mona came running with the dog lead in her hand, and we were able to safely get the lead around the dog and return the dog home. But you know, it's in that moment, just like the dog, sometimes we may just want to run away, just to get away, and even feel like we can run away from God. God, I'm through with this. I want to retire from the line of Christian duty. There are times in our lives, church, where what we are going through will cause us to want to run away. But David lets us know in Psalm 139, you can run, but you can't hide. Where can I go from your spirit? Wherever you think that you can run to in this world, please know, God will be there. Even if you try to attempt to find some temporary means of escape, just to get away from your struggles, to cloud everything out, please know that wherever you go, His Spirit will always be there. It's just like Jonah in the Old Testament, running away from God's purpose and His plan because he did not like the mission that God was calling him to fulfill. So instead of preaching to Nineveh as God had commanded, decided to run away to Tarshish, only to discover that the same God that was calling him to Nineveh was the same God that would find him on the way to Tarshish. Jonah, you can run, but you can't hide. And I want to encourage you today, don't allow your struggles to drive you away from God. But allow your problems to draw you closer to him. Because you can never run away from the care and the protection of Almighty God. His care for you is unconditional. Even when you don't feel like it, even if you want to run away, God's care will always be there. So it's impossible to run away from him. But finally, we also notice in this psalm, David lets us know that God's light is stronger than the darkness. Can we say that together? God's light is stronger, yes, than the darkness. Verse 11, David notices something about the darkness. Even in the darkness, even in the most dire of situations in our lives, David reminds us that God is not absent from seeing us. It's like the school children playing hide and seek in the playground. And the best place to hide is in a place that's dark, where visibility is poor, so that the person coming to find you will struggle to see you in the dark. You can find a dark alley or a place where visibility is very poor, then you'll stand a much better chance of winning the game and going unnoticed. But David lets us know, even if we were go to the most darkest of environments and hide out in pitch black, yet still God will see you. I don't know how, if that encourages me so much. That even in total darkness, where it seems like no one around us can see what I'm going through, what I'm facing, and I'm going through a very dark situation in my life, God can still see you. You see, we often use darkness as a metaphor for the pains that we go through in our lives. If we're in a bad mood, oh, I'm just in a dark mood at the moment. Oh, things are just going through a very dark season in my life. It's just bleak, hopeless. But David lets us know, even in the midst of darkness, God can see you. So be encouraged today, my friends. It may appear on paper as if your situation is bleak, hopeless, and utter darkness. But God's marvelous light can still shine in your dark situation. And when he shines his light bright on you, he sees you, he knows you, and his care is so personal, so fitting, that he reaches out the arm of his grace and protection to say, I know what you are going through. I see you. And I care. Yesterday, King Charles was officially anointed as the king over the UK and Commonwealth. And one of the things I loved about yesterday's proceedings is the Archbishop of Canterbury reminded the king and reminded the nation that here is a king that is not being installed to lord his power over the people. But here is a king that has been called to serve. Called to serve. And not only as Christians may we ask the question, God, do you really care about what I'm going through? But there is a whole community out there who are looking to us. And they are asking the question, yes, the church may meet on Sundays to raise hands and worship and sing good songs and hymns, but does the church really care? Does the church care about me? Is there hope for someone as broken, confused as me? Is there any hope? Will I be accepted? Will I be welcomed into this church with all the baggage that I will bring? And church, just like King Charles, may we be reminded as a church that we have an obligation as Christians for service. And we are called to serve this present age with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and also to do all that we can to touch people's lives where they are broken, where they are hurting, and where they need our help. I pray that people in this town will be able to find in us and find in this church an environment and a people who care. We may not be able to solve every problem, church, but may it always be said of us, God's church, that we are a people who care. Just like God, who sees us and knows us and cares for us, even though we may feel as if he doesn't, may we be a church that looks outward and sees the needs of our community and reach out the arms of care. So as I draw this sermon to a close this morning, I simply want to encourage you. You can run, but you can't hide from God's care. He cares for each and every one of you. He sees and he knows. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for your word. And we're grateful that just like David, there is no place that we could ever go where your spirit will not find us there. We thank you that you promised to always be with us, that you will never leave nor forsake your people. And Lord, I pray today for anyone here who is struggling right now, who feels lonely, who feels isolated, who feels as if no one cares about what I'm facing. I pray today that through your word and through the guidance of your Holy Spirit, that such an one would leave this place knowing that you care for them in such a special way. Thank you that your word lets us know that we can cast all of our cares to you because you care for us. And I pray that we would leave today feeling encouraged and reinvigorated, knowing that you do see us and you do care about your people. And then finally, I pray for us as your church, along with our fellow churches in this town, that we may be stirred to Christian action, to not just say that we care, but to put our love into action. Father, I pray for the ministry of the food bank team, who dedicate their time on Fridays, Lord, to serve people who need support in this town. Pray, Lord, you continue to bless the team as they serve you on Fridays. Lord, we pray for our contact center, who even yesterday, on the coronation day, opened up the doors to say, despite what's happening around, we're going to be here to support those who need care. Father, we thank you that you have called us to be a caring people. We pray that we'll continue to do all that we can to show forth your love and your grace in this community. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As the worship team come back to lead us in the final song before we go, may you continue to know God's care for you. And at the conclusion of the service, if you do need prayer, if you do need someone to pray for you and to see you, maybe you don't even want to say anything, but you just want to, in silence, just have someone just to come alongside you, then please do meet us in the prayer corner. And we want you to know that you're not alone. You are not alone. That you have a God who cares, and you have a church community who cares for you. So if you need prayer after the service, then please do meet us in the prayer corner. God bless you all. Thank you, Brian.
Remember that God is faithful.
Please do take your seats just very briefly. I'm going to let you go. Just want to we're going to officially welcome into membership Nicola and Hussein. We thank God for them. I'm sure many of you have already had a chance to speak with Nicola and Hussein. So Nicola and Hussein, please do join me at the front so they can all see. I know it's a bit of a surprise for you both. Let's welcome them. These are our new family members, and we love you so much, and we thank God for you both for joining us, and it has been such a joy to have you on board the SBC ship. And we thank you so much, and we know that God has placed you here for a reason and for a purpose, and already God is beginning to really use you both here in the church. And I know that you have some great ideas that you can share with us here in the church. We look forward to sharing those with the church. And we want to officially at this time just welcome you into the church. Here is your membership certificates and also some nighttime reading for you both.
Thank you very much.
So let me just give you the right hand of fellowship.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. God bless you all.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. As we receive the benediction and we pray for Nicola and Hussein, let's go to God in prayer now. Father, we do thank you for blessing us with growth and with new members, for Nicola and Hussein, for bringing them here to us to be a part of your church family here in Sittingbourne. We pray you continue just to bless them, bless their marriage, their children. Oh Lord, we pray that they will continue to find this place, Lord, a place of support, a place, Lord, where they can grow, Lord, in their faith in you. And I pray, Lord, as they continue to open their hearts to the things that you have prepared for them, we just know that they're going to continue, Lord, to walk, Lord, in your footsteps. And we just pray you'll continue to guide them. And Lord, as we draw this service to a close and we leave this place, Lord, but we know that we will never be able to escape or run away from your presence. You will always be there, and we thank you for that blessed truth. So until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now as well as forevermore. Amen. Amen. Please do join us in the lounge for fellowship, teas and coffees. And if you see someone in the lounge who's by themselves, please go and talk to them. We're all one family, and everyone needs to know that we're all a part of Team Jesus, and we're a loving family. God bless you all. Thank you.